You know, it'll be permanent notes. You'll take these home and keep them for a long time. But you guys, one thing you need to know about our guest here. We had someone else scheduled to come in, and due to scheduling things, they couldn't make it up here. I'm gonna get to that. And literally on a last second notice, she decided to come here. And that's amazing. That's amazing. Agreed to come here. In fact, I'm gonna save some of the stories until we need to do this part first. I want to get to that, but we're gonna need to recognize top recruiters and top producers first. Top producers, you got the remote? Just hit the button for me. All right, coming in number four, Mr. Kyle Taylor. Hello. Is Kyle in the room? I don't know. Anybody know who Kyle is?
Yeah.
Okay, not here. All right. New people can go out there and make a lot of money too. Number three, Mr. George Wilkinson. Give him a hand. Number two, top producer in the state last month, Miss Sherry Tolman. And the number one top producer in the state. Oh, the suspense killing him, is Clancy Talbot. I think she had like somewhere around like 150 memberships that she sold last month, which is not too bad. She's not able to be with us today, but she has been texting me all morning during the presentation, and she's pretty cocky and arrogant, and she just says nobody can catch her. So anyhow, but she's doing very well. She's just not able to be here today, and she passes on best wishes. And you guys, nobody's dethroned her for a long, long time, okay? And it's, you know, she gets up here and starts challenging everyone to beat Dave Hall, dethrone Dave Hall, so he's not top recruiter and stuff. Let's have somebody beat Clancy this month, okay? She ain't here so I can talk a little trash, okay? I'll tell you what, just between us, anyone goes out and beats her this month, I will personally pay you $100. If you will beat her, if you'll go out and sell more memberships than her, I will pay you $100 out of my bank account, okay? So go beat her, okay? We need to see her at second place up there. All right, top recruiters, coming in number three, Jack and Sally Gilbert. Not too bad. Not too bad. Come on, you guys. If an old lady can do it. I can say, that's my mom, I can say that. The guests are like, oh, I can't believe he just said that. But hey, you know, if you're going to have a top recruiter, it's always nice when they're on your team. All right. Number two, Mr. Robert Johnson. Woo! Hold on. Don't. Second place. That's not too bad. Mr. Burns has been very familiar with that spot, huh? Second place, huh? You want to see who's number one again? Dethroned, Mr. Ryan Burns. Come on up here, Mr. Burns. Come on up. I got feet. Come in. I got tired of the spot. I got old. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Burns for 1 month.
Okay. 1 month. We'll see about that. And, you know, I know Mr. Hall's really busy, and he's always throwing this challenge out at me because I know he's making a lot of money when he pushes me a little bit. But I was thinking, Mr. Hall, I know you're really busy. You're traveling. But if you get half the associates I do this week, I'll pay dinner for you the entire month at Chili's after the briefings. That's the challenge.
All right. All right, I'll take it.
Okay. Well, we don't know yet. The month's not over, but we're working on it. Oh, I don't know. 10, I think.
Something like that. 10 or something like that. You know, once it hits double digits, we just stop keeping track. Does it really matter?
No, but it's been a lot of fun this month, and I know that Bobby was nipping at my toes, and he's like, how many you got, Burns? How many do you got? And I know he's working hard this month to pass me up, and I hope he does, because he's on my team, and that's awesome.
That's awesome.
But what prepaid legal means to me, and I love the meeting that we had, you know, just a few days ago with the training, and just hearing everybody's inspiring stories. But I just love the opportunity to go out there and share this, the business with everybody and the opportunity. But man, my testimony was already strong with my family having the membership for so long. But, thanks so much to Mrs. Verna Heath, because I'm much more passionate about that side of it even more than I was before. And I just absolutely love prepaid legal.
Awesome. All right. Now back to my story. So, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, travel plans change and our guest wasn't able to make it. And we made a phone call to Judge McCoy, who was here not too long ago. You guys remember Judge McCoy? Absolutely incredible, incredible individual. And he said, you know what? He's very, very well connected with all the top leaders. He's like, hold on, let me make a phone call. And he called Mrs. Heath and asked if she would jump in and fill the spot for our guest. And what you need to understand is Mrs. Heath doesn't have a team here in the state of Utah. As she said, first time to the state of Utah. So she's not coming here because she's making a ton of money, because there's a lot of people on her team here that are working the business. Okay, she's given up time away from her family, her friends, and just traveling, and wait till we get to the traveling part, to be here just because of what an incredible person, a servant leader that she is, that she would just step in on a short notice, last second, leave her family as a single mom, leave her family and come up here and do this for her, for us. We obviously owe her a debt of gratitude for that. Thank you. But then the debate was, you know, I have all these groups, I'm doing these enrollments, which flight to catch. And it was really close. We can't make this flight. I might be able to make this flight, but then the last flight of the day would give me a little bit bumper time. Okay, we'll catch that flight. And it was supposed to get in here about 10 o'clock at night. And then thunderstorms hit in Phoenix and the monsoon rainstorms hit, and it didn't get here at 10. And so we waited at the airport, and 10:30, it didn't get here, and 11 o'clock, it didn't get here, and we're texting her, and she's in Phoenix waiting to leave. Any second now, we call the airline. Any second, that plane's going to be taken off. That plane got in here at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, like half the day waiting on the plane to, you know, get here. And you know what? She came off just incredible at it, laughed about it, incredible attitude. I'd probably be pretty bent out of shape after a trip like that and stuff. But just has been an absolute gem to have here. And you guys didn't even know the caliber of person that we're talking about. I mean, just a few days ago, Good Morning America contacted her, wanting her to share her story, which you're going to hear some of it today. Just a couple weeks ago, the Oprah Winfrey Show, again, contacting her to share part of her story. Her story has been for a made-for-TV movie that's been on TV. I remember long before I was in prepaid legal, seeing her story on the national news, never realizing that someday that story of that person that I was seeing on the national news would be a dear friend in this business that would travel around the world and help so many people so unselfishly with no financial gain at all. Would you all give a warm Utah welcome to Ms. Verna Heath?
Come on. Going out tonight, I'm feeling alright. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise, really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout.
I would come back here just for the music. I love his music, he does a great job. You know, I just want to tell you, I'm just like you, okay? We're all going through life and things happen, and there's so much I want to share with you today. First of all, I want to share with you what an absolutely incredible leadership team that you have. Now, I can come up here and I can just tell you that, but I'm telling you, you have no idea how fortunate you are, or maybe you do, to have this gentleman
And the leadership that you have, you know, they just treat you like royalty. And I am so impressed by the love and how the care and concern. And I understood a long time ago, it took me a while to learn this, but you know, you learn as you go. When I was going through all the, it was called the cheerleader pom-pom mom mess, my son, Sean, he's 27 now, he was 15 at that time, he said, "Mom, you've got to be joyful in the good times and the bad. You're going through the bad times so God can use you." And I was like, okay. But kind of when I changed my focus and I stopped focusing on my problem and started focusing on the positive, it changed everything in my life. Doors started opening because you can get all caught up in you. And it's just like coming here. Yes, I was in Phoenix. And it never rains in Phoenix, from what I've heard. There was a lot of us waiting there. And, you know, I had no idea that it was going to be that long. But you can either sit and cry or you can sit and take advantage of the opportunity. When you're around a lot of people, you have opportunity. You don't think I was in Phoenix just crying. I was sharing. And the gentleman that I shared with, we just connected all of a sudden. He's already emailed me. He wants the membership. He lives in California. So that was not a wasted wait, okay? It's you always make a profit of where you are any time. But it's what I love about the business. I can do it anywhere, anytime. I want to go back to Players Club for just a moment. And the reason I want to go back to Players Club, you saw the people come up here. Raise your hand if you're in Players Club. Okay. This is my feeling about our business. If you would focus on simply being in Players Club every single month and having at least 10 points to carry over, you can only carry over it to 10 points, but have those 10 points ready for that next month. So you've got the next month taken care of. When they started Players Club, it was, 7 years ago? 6 years ago?
84 months ago.
Exactly. I've been in Players Club for 84 months. And when I saw this, I thought, God, they're giving away free money. It's free money. Just doing what you should be doing anyway. So I thought, okay, I want to be in Players Club. And I didn't want to be in Players Club 5. Why would I do that? You get paid less money. I want to be in Players Club 10. So after 12 months, and you have to be in Players Club every month for 12 months. So if you don't get your 10 points, then you got to start over, and people get all down and out and give up. Don't ever give up. Just start over and get going again. But if you'll focus on being in Players Club the first of the month or the end of the last month, already finished with the next month, working on the next month, you'll always stay in Players Club. And so the very first year after I'd been in Players Club 12 months, they started sending me a $300 check. I was like, wow, $300 check. Now let's see, what can I do with it? I can save it, spend it, buy stock, whatever. So what's 300 times 12? Okay, add this up for me. 300 times 12 is 3,600. The next year, they started sending me $400 a month. Now what's 400 times 12? Then from that point on, it was $500 a month. And I've been receiving $500 a month for however long that's been. 3 years, 4 years, plus 6 months, 5 years. Is that right? So about how much is that, Dave? I see you adding.
$30,000.
It's more than
$30,000.
Almost $40,000. Let's say $35,000. Is that a pretty good number of free money?
Yeah.
To do what you should be doing anyway. Now, I used to get that check and rush to the bank to deposit it because I needed it. I was at the place. I needed it. I was waiting on that check. Today, I came to Utah. I'm not bragging. I'm just sharing. I've got two checks that I haven't cashed. Hadn't had time to go to the bank. Green Corvette, $500 car bonus. Now, I have another check. Green Corvette, Players Club, car bonus. $500. That's $1,000. I have one waiting for me at home. I got the little email, you know, in, under my statistics saying my car bonus check had come in. So I have another. That's $1,500 I have waiting to do whatever I want to do with. Now, I have talked to people that have jobs, and they don't get paid that much money in a week, $500, working 40 hours a week. Now, you may think, well, that's not that much money. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there that don't make that much money. And in our service, when I look at something, anything in my life, whether it's my house note, my car note, a pair of shoes I want, whatever that is that I'm wanting to acquire, it's how many apps is that going to take? If my son comes to me and says, I need a new pair of tennis shoes or whatever it is, he's a director. See, all my children are directors. You know why they're directors? Because mom told them. I didn't ask them. Maybe this is where I made my mistake. But my son was in the Marines at Camp Pendleton in California. And I called him and I said, Aaron, do you have $249? Because then it was $249. And he goes, yes, ma'am. And I said, do you have three Marine friends that have $249? He said, yes, ma'am. I said, well, this Saturday you're going to a fast start training, which is what it was called then. He goes, where is that? I said, it's 20 minutes away. It's an attorney that's teaching that class. You get those guys, we're going to get you enrolled, and you're going to that training. California is a non-licensed state. They went to that training, and that evening they all made their money back that they had invested. Now, do I feel good about that decision? Yes, I do. All my four children are directors. My daughter called me because of a need. She hasn't been doing this. She went to Baylor. She graduated. She's a stay-at-home mom. She's got two children. Her husband builds million-dollar homes. But I positioned my children that when they finally got a clue, they would call me. And she said, Mom, I want to put Hayden in private school. And it's about $400 a month. I said, well, that's two memberships. That's exactly what I told her. This was 3 weeks ago. That is all I think about. When it comes to somebody needing something or saying I need or I want, you got to think about you need to be helping somebody and sell them a membership and you'll have what you need and what you want. That's all I think about today. I don't know how you think, Dave, but I will tell you it is a beautiful thing that you can help people and make a living at the same time. When I got into the business, and I'm going to hand these to you if you'll please stop. Got my name on it. Do not become an identity theft person. Y'all saw that he put it in his pocket, right? I'm going to go back just for a little bit, and then I'm going to do a skit with you. I want to go back so you really know what I've done to get where I am. No PowerPoint, no CDs or magazines. I got into the business July 16th of 1998 because I was desperate. I didn't even have $249. I was going through a divorce. Not proud about that, but things happen in life. Had a tremendous amount of health issues. Stress will cause that. I will let you know right up front. I didn't think that would happen, but I was one of these people that the light bill was due on Friday and I didn't have enough money to pay it. My friend paid my $249 after the first 30 days and I did exactly what I was told. They said, get your license, go take this test, which we had to do in Texas at the time, and go to this event in Dallas. Well, this event in Dallas was 2 weeks later. And because they told me to go, I went. Went to the event. I met Mr. Stonecipher, the founder of our company. I met Dave Savula, the top money earner in the company. I met Mark Brown, my upline person that has really been a great help to me. Fran Tarkenton that runs our small business training. And I just met all the package. And I got to see what I had my hands wrapped around. I got to see and feel who this company was. And I realized that it was a company of integrity, based on a Christian-based company, people that I felt comfortable with working with. And they told me if I would go to group school and take small business and go through all these trainings, I would learn. Now, does that mean I have to do all of those things? Absolutely not. It just means that I opened my mind up to seeing what all my business was about. You may not want to do group. You may not want to sell a small business plan. I don't know what you want to do in your business, but because it was my business and my franchise, I needed to know everything about my business because when I came in contact with an insurance agent, he has clients that need our service. And if I don't know how to talk his language, then how is he going to feel comfortable letting me recruit him on my team? Correct? So I want to be able to recruit any type of person, any background. So I learned everything that I could learn. And I came home and I recruited 12 people that month. Now, you clap, but they didn't do anything. And they didn't do anything because I probably didn't know how to tell them what to do or how to do it. I thought they were going to be as excited and passionate as me. They weren't. Family, friends, brother, sister, you know. People would say, God, Vern, you're so excited, I'm just going to enroll anyway. I'm like, okay, that's great. But after 30 days, I'd made $1,000. Gotten all my investment back. And for me, that is the thing about this. You get somebody in your business, you need to help them get their investment back. Because then they can't tell you it doesn't work. Ever. They can never say that. It does work and the service works. And how many of you in here, and I'm not trying to draw attention to you, but how many in here have a membership and you've used your service? Is that everybody? I hope that if you haven't, that's your homework assignment. Monday morning, you got to call the law firm and you got to make up a question if you don't have one. You got to call and find out who's on the other end of that line. So when you're sharing this with somebody, you know who they're calling and what the chain of events is going to happen. Because I believe in good persistency. I don't want people to buy a membership that's going to cancel next month. I want good retention, and the only way I can have good retention is if I get people to using their service and find out that it works. That's why I give them things up front, like the membership kit. Do I pay $1.25 for that? Yes, I do. But it is so valuable. I don't want to just give somebody a pink slip saying, here's your receipt. You'll get a package in about 8 to 10 days. I want action taken today with them. I want them to start filling out their will. I want them to get their monitoring service turned on. I want them to get their credit report. And if I don't do some things to help nudge that along, they'll procrastinate like I did on my will, and they won't have used their service for a year. And their monitoring won't be turned on. All you have to do is get this off of Documents on Demand, have them fill this out, send it in with their application. Because if you don't, and this has happened to me, that's why I know. I'll go back and they'll say, well, I didn't get my credit report. Well, when you got that package in the mail, did you fill it out? Oh, I didn't get a package. Yeah, they probably did. It's kind of like associates that get their package and it's kind of like leaned up against the wall. So they've never seen their success guide and they don't have a clue what they're doing because we never open the package. I like to open the package. It's kind of like handing out a tool. I don't know if this is how you do it, but I got to have an appointment right now because I am a little impatient. I got to have action now. And if I give Dave a tool and I say, will you look at this and can I get back with you? And then I call Dave and he says, well, I hadn't had time. And can I call you next week? And he hasn't had time. And I call him next week, hasn't had time. Oh, that drives me crazy. It may not drive you crazy, it drives me crazy. So I'm like, we got to talk right now. I'm going to show you what's in this magazine. Or when can we talk? I just need 10 minutes. Or if I'm going to hand somebody a tool, I'm going to slit the tape and pull out the CD. And this is what we need to listen to. Can we listen to this?
Yes.
Do you see what I mean? I'm not leaving up my future to him not opening the package. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So those 12 people I recruited the first month obviously never opened the package. And that was okay. It was just I didn't know what I was doing yet. I was what you call ignorance on fire. Ignorance on fire. And that's okay to be ignorance on fire. You don't have to know everything yet to do this business because you got somebody helping you that does know. or we can find somebody that does know more about the business. So you can be ignorance on fire in the beginning. Don't be one of these analytical people that you got to know everything before you get started. I know we have some of you in here. I know we do. And I'm going to pull you up right now. Who's been to college? Who has one of those really important degrees, like a scientist or a doctor or a... Anybody in here? Who is one of those... Okay. Would you please... If you'll just stand right here. Okay, you're going to be my knowledge on ice.
Okay.
Okay? And what I need, could you please hand me that magazine? If you'll please take this magazine.
Thank you.
And then I need, let's see, who is one of those people in this room? You, of course. I know you're the one. I know you're the one. If you'll just please be here, you are ignorance on fire. Now, if you'll please say your name and your background to everybody.
My name's Ryan, and my background is I graduated from the University of Utah in psychology.
That's the problem.
Okay, Ryan, psychology. Okay. So, Mr. Manning, what I would like for you to do is take that magazine, and I'd like for you to review it, and front cover to back cover.
Okay?
And you're one of these people that you got to know everything before you do anything. Okay, so will you just please start reading that for me?
I will.
Okay. Now over here, Mr. Mike, Ryan, I'm sorry. Thinking of Mike. Ryan, I want you, to do something for me. And can you just exactly follow what I ask you to do?
Sure.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay. You didn't say that positive. What I need you to do in our world is we want to share our information with as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. So what I'd like for you to do is run out and get 3 people out of the audience and bring up here with you.
Okay. We'll
do that. Okay. Mr. Manning, are you still studying?
I am.
Okay, great. But we need to hurry, like, really fast. Thank you. Okay, great. Would y'all welcome them up here? Now, Ryan, because you're such a great leader and you brought people on that will follow too and they'll do what you tell them, could you please ask them to do the same thing that I ask you to do?
Can you go get 3 people to bring them up here and sit real quick?
No, you're good. And y'all kind of all move over this direction, kind of in this little place. We don't want to be close to Mr. Manning because he is studying, okay? Okay. Now, for the other leaders, that just did exactly what Ryan told them to do, will you please tell the people you brought up to do exactly what you did? And please hurry. Mr. Manning, are you still studying?
I am.
Okay. Could y'all all please move right over here to this corner? Now, Mr. Manning, could you please come stand right over here? Are you through with that yet? Okay, great.
I'm learning a lot, though.
Okay, well, about 2 weeks has gone by.
Oh, okay.
We have flipped forward. Because of your job and everything, you've had to put it down and then pick it back up and put it down and pick it back up. But in the meantime, my friend over here, Mr. Ryan, just kind of realized that if he would just kind of follow and do what I told him to do and not worry about knowing everything, he has created a team of people. Now, out of all that team, they're going to meetings and getting plugged into calls and going out and bringing other people into their business that are learning while they're learning. Okay? And they all have a magazine. And some read faster than others.
What kind of magazine is it today?
So, do you get my point?
I do.
Is it important to just go ahead and step out on faith? If you meet somebody that's successful for 10 years and you hear people say, this really works, company's been around 36 years, wouldn't you just go ahead and like, look at this? I mean, this is what it's all about, is getting enough people in your business that can all be working towards a goal all at the same time. You got it?
Yes, I did.
How many people are going to go out and look for some people to get into your business? You know, next year, I would love to come back or whenever and see this ring tripled because of this right here.
Absolutely,
man. Yeah, absolutely. And I might even get some people here. Okay. Thank y'all so much. Oh, you know what? I think that's it. Would you hear him right there? I saw this years ago when I first got into the business, and it was something I've never forgotten, because I think we think too much about our business. We just think too much, and we're so skeptical, and we don't move forward. And I'm not going to share who, but I've had stories shared with me over the last couple of days of how sometimes confidence prevents you from being successful. And I know that I became very confident when I used the service and became so passionate about the service. It made me feel better about telling people about my business, because it's not just about the money. The money's important, but if I don't have something longevity that I can feel proud about, that when I walk across the street and I see a person I recruited or sold a membership 2 years ago, and I have to turn the other way because I don't want them to see me. You've seen the people, I got them into this and I got them into that and they were in this and I can't call them again because it'll be like, oh God, what are you got for me now? You know, so then we have this fear of being confident in sharing this great service with other people and building our business. So we're going to go back just a minute. After my first month, I'd made $1,000. I was very excited about that, but I still needed to do more. I had goals to reach. I'm going to go over to group just a minute. And I'm not trying to tell anybody to do group. I know we've got some people in the room that do group. Clancy does. I know Dale's recruited someone that's a benefits person. And the deal about group for me was the fact that when I got the phone call from the attorney at the law firm, and at the end of our call, she said, this story was worth millions to your family with the right attorney. I could not feel bad about that. It just wasn't about that part. I just said to that attorney, I said, you know what? I'm going to earn millions in sharing this information with as many people as I can. Okay? That's where I keep my focus. And so in group, I was able to have a room like this full of people with everybody having an app in their hand with some brochures. I could tell the story to everybody at once and have at least 50% of them enroll. And that was a nice day. Right? And so my recruiting efforts were not working that great. I didn't have the great leadership of, you know, that you have here and the great support. I truly was out kind of on my own. But what I did was I parked my car and I went inside every single door that was open for business, because I had to be. I had urgency. I had to go make a living, and this is what I wanted to do. So by my third month in the business, I had a warm connection with a company where I taught their twirlers twirling and the flag corps. So I went to the risk manager. And I said, Mr. Davis, I am now in a part of a company where we offer a service that all your employees really, really need. They just don't know about it. And I told him about it, and he let me go in, and in 1 week, 85 teachers enrolled. And I had made about $8,500. I was a senior associate. And I didn't even know that when I turned in those 85 apps, it made me ED that month. I didn't know. I thought my upline, Ken Abrams, he even paid for my FedEx. It was FedEx then, and he shook putting those apps in because he knew the override he was going to get. And he said, you know, you ED'd this month. I said, no, I didn't. I'm not a director. He goes, you don't have to be a director. You can be any level in the business and market enough memberships personally, because you would have to do it personally in the beginning of your business until your team is structured properly. Okay? And so I said, well, golly, that's like free money. Somebody's going to get that ED bonus. It might as well be me, right?
Yeah.
So that's where my mindset was. While I was building my team to getting it structured correctly, I marketed 75 memberships a month. We didn't even have identity theft, so it didn't count legal plan identity theft. It was 75 people. So I just got very involved in marketing the membership, very passionate about that. After I got smarter, because a couple of years later, I had cancer, and I didn't have a team built. And if you don't have a team built, you just have a job. Not that it's not fabulous to have that part of the business, but building a team gives you leverage. And if you're not able to get up that day and go do your business, you got other people on your team that can help out, right? So I learned from my mistakes, I learned that I needed to build a team. So that was encouraging. I remember the first override I got, how exciting that was, that I'd actually helped that person. They went out and sold some memberships, and I overrided that. That is a cool feeling, right? And it's not about greed or using others. It's about the friendship and the businesses that you help, relationship you build, and they call you because they're so excited and they don't even mind you getting an override because you know you helped them. You understand that? So January 4 years ago, I guess it's been 5 years ago now, I had the flu the first 2 weeks of the month of January. And by the last day of the end of the month, I still needed 54 memberships to ED. And I had said, I'm never not going to ED again. And I'm going to tell you this last little story, and then I'm going to go on to some other things. But I'm trying to help you understand what I will do to make my business work, how far I will go. And you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I'd been sick, and I needed 54 memberships. And because of group, I had something lined up. FedEx went out at 6:30 that next day. I went and did a group, and now I only needed 7 memberships. And I had a friend with me. It was already 6 o'clock. It was almost time for FedEx to go off, and Prepaid Legal had to have those apps the next day. We went outside the door, and I kind of leaned my head up against the brick wall going, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And my friend said to me, well, you're just not going to make it this month. Wrong thing to say. That was not the smart thing to say to me. I called a store manager at one of my groups, and I said, Mr. Sanchez, may I come over tonight at your 10 o'clock meeting and do a presentation for the employees? He said, sure, come on over. I went over there, and 3 people enrolled. I still needed 4 more apps. I have a food chain, and I called them. They had a night crew all night, and Dave's sitting here going, oh, my gosh, woman, you have lost your mind. You should have been calling associates, getting them to do something. But remember, I didn't have a team at that point. So I went to 3 different locations. There was one in North Shore, Channelview, and Highlands. I got one in North Shore, one in Highlands, and 2 in Channelview. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I went home. I booked a flight to Oklahoma. I got up the next morning at 6, I got on the plane, and I flew to Oklahoma, and I didn't take a jacket, and I didn't know it was freezing, because I live in Houston, Texas. I got off the plane, I had left my credit card at home, because I was in such a hurry. They got me over to Enterprise, and I didn't have anything to rent the car. I had $100 cash. And I said, I need to talk to your manager. The manager came out, and I said, sir, you're going to either rent me a car for this $100 cash, or you're going to take me to Ada. He said, ma'am, I'm going to rent you the car. I drove to Ada in sleeting ice. I got to Ada. This is when I couldn't find the building. And the road was about that thick in ice, and I slid across the road once I found the building. And I went inside, and do you know what I found out? There were other crazy people there. There were other people there the last day of the month driving to Ada, Oklahoma to turn in apps to ED Qualify. Now, what did that teach me? I will never do that again. So I started building a team, and it's a great thing to have people on your team help you get to that position every month while you're helping them. And I still market the membership. I will always do group. I will always go out and share this because it's just in me. I have to do it. It's like a drug, you know. But it is really nice when you have a team that helps support that effort and get you there every single month. And then you want to watch those people walk across the stage and get to those levels. That's what it's all about. And so after I got through that period of time and I had my team structured where it worked properly, I will tell you, my goals really changed in my mind. It wasn't about me anymore. I knew that I had to be a good leader, and I knew I had to set an example for my team. And what that meant was the 10 core commitment. You got to go to meetings. You've got to be on the calls. You've got to get plugged in. And so over the years, I became a regional vice president in Houston, and now I'm a group vice president. And why am I a group vice president? I don't know, because Keith Davis called me and said, would I? But I do like training. I know Clancy is the group vice president here, and it is great to go out and sell 150 memberships in 1 month. Do you know what that income is? It's a lot. It's a lot. And when other people see you achieve goals, then they usually strive to achieve those goals too. I want to go back just a minute to some of the things that I've done over the years as far as building my business, recruiting, not being shy, being confident. Like I told you earlier, people would say, Verna, who do you talk to? Anybody breathing oxygen, that's who I talk to. You know, people will say all the time, well, how do you go out and recruit somebody? Well, do we have a hand mic? Do we have a hand mic? Oh, but it's, that would be great. What I would like is to just pick this row, starting over here with this gentleman in the suit, all the way down this row. And what I want to know is, I want you to tell everybody how you got recruited.
My business partner met Marcia Hughes in a bookstore.
At a bookstore. Okay, next.
By Ron Sanders with a DVD.
Wait, do how? How?
By Ron Sanders, by a DVD.
You looked at the DVD, mm-hmm. And once you looked at the DVD, what happened?
Well, actually, I never really looked at the DVD because mine's kind of a weird story. My attorney is our law firm.
Oh.
So.
So your attorney is on the provider, is a provider attorney? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We've used them for years.
So now I save money. He was already your attorney. Now he's your discounted attorney.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great.
The person who recruited me first tried to talk to me and tell me all about it, and I didn't want to listen, and I didn't.
Okay.
Then he finally gave me a video. I watched the video. Didn't like the guy, so I didn't want to sign up, but they invited me to come to a Super Saturday, and at the Super Saturday, I finally decided this was worth it, even if he recruited me.
Okay.
Who is it? I clicked on something on the internet that sent me an email, and I was contacted then, by Mariah Ball. And she kept calling me and sent me a DVD. I went to the website, watched a video. And when I watched that DVD quietly in my room, hoping not to get in trouble by my mom, I got set on fire and I lost about 4 hours of sleep that night because I was so excited. And I joined up. I didn't tell her about this until about a month ago. So it was really cool. Been about 6 or 7 months now, and yeah, it's
awesome.
Does
your mother know?
My mom knows. She's not too excited about it, but I don't care.
I was given a DVD, and I never watched it. I was pestered for months and months by Doug. Finally, he convinced me to come to a meeting, and I saw the presentation, and he said, "Are you ready to get going?" I said, "Yes."
So how did he convince you?
You know what? He just kept saying, "This is what you need." And I kept asking him questions about lawyers and this and that. He's like, "Dude, no, just come to the meeting and get this." Because he wouldn't answer any more questions. He stopped answering my questions. As soon as he did that, I had to go find out.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see. I was actually approached with it when I was married and by Ron. And so I saw the DVD then, kind of, and then told him I wasn't going to do it, but he actually, when I was going through my divorce, he came up to me again and was like, because I had a little boy that was like a month and a half, and he's like, "I really think that this is something you need to look at," so I did.
And you have an Identity Theft Shield prepaid legal shirt on today.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mine was about a 9-year process of about 10 different people showing me the information over and over again. I'm the very analytical, initially wouldn't listen to it at all, finally at least watched the video, thought, yeah, the product makes sense, but I'm not interested because that's a network marketing thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then four more people approached me, and finally somebody said, "You really ought to take a serious look at it." And then I spent 4 months over analyzing the company, year-end reports, everything else before I joined.
I can't believe you admitted that. Oh, my gosh.
Let's see. I was approached a year before I signed up. The gentleman that originally showed me prepaid legal didn't say anything or, you know, much of anything. He just said the name of the company and you're coming with me, and I came to a briefing.
Oh.
Didn't sign up then, and he didn't follow up with me. Then a year later, a gentleman that I worked with in my church doing some church projects reapproached me. He showed me the DVD. I had been thinking since that briefing, I really need this because what if?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was approached the second time, I was like, well, yeah, I've been wanting to get this for a year. So then I signed up.
So you enroll, you signed up with the person that didn't tell you the first time?
I signed up with the second guy. Meanwhile,
so that would be called not very good follow-up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other guy had quit, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I had just moved to Utah, and I had a friend that was going to run for governor, and he was going to use, he was in prepaid, and he was going to use all of his commissions for, to finance his running for governor. And so he asked, I didn't know he was in prepaid at the time. I said, "What can I do to help?" And he said, "Sign here." and he went over the brochure with me.
So he had an application with him, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Does everybody carry apps with you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the worst when somebody wants to enroll and you don't have one. I've done that before.
He had the he showed me the brochure, signed up. And this is where I think a lot of people make mistakes too, because the next week we were going to go to Fast Start. We got there late. He says, "Well, it's not important anyway." Yeah, and so I didn't do anything for months, did I, Dave? You know, but, and he has quit. In fact, when I made director, I called him and told him that I was director, and I said, you know, if you'd have stuck with it, you'd be ED now. So, but anyway, he's not in it, and I am. So
that's cool.
My son had knee surgery, and he called me one night and said, "My wife's sick, and I need to get into Ogden. I'm helping with a briefing. Can you drive me in?" And
oh, that is great. Well,
you already know the punchline, don't you? He'd been in a year, and I told him I didn't want anything to do with it, and I said, I'll sit in the lobby. And he said, that's okay. So I went over and felt real uncomfortable sitting in the lobby, so I went into the briefing room, sat way in the back, folded my arms, and George Wilkinson got up. And when he said 2% penetration, I was in.
I want everybody to hear how people get recruited, because every time I get that question, how do you recruit somebody? This is how you recruit somebody, all these different ways and stories.
I actually went to a business and arrested somebody for the business owner. And they invited me to a briefing. I took about 3 months to...
The business owner invited
me. Invited me to a...
You are kidding me.
And I showed up after about 2.5 months and signed up the day I was there. It made sense to me. As a cop, everybody needs this.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, that's an original. I'm with him, and it took him 5 months to get me to a Super Saturday because I didn't want anything to do with it, so I got recruited after him, really.
Okay. On the same application, but...
Yeah.
Right, you came on board mentally later.
A gentleman in Riverside, California mailed me a DVD that sat on top of my TV for about a month before I watched it. Called him back after watching it, loved it. He told me I had to come out to a meeting and meet a couple guys named Dave. One of them apparently wore a ring that was some big deal. And came to the briefing, definitely saw an opportunity, and scrounged up the $249 to get started, and the rest is history.
Incredible. So it was $249?
My friend from high school, Dan Hunt, we were getting together once a month, and he called me up and asked me what I was doing on Thursday. I'm like, nothing. What do you want to do? And he's like, I need you to come with me to see this thing. I was like, I don't do that kind of thing. And he's like, just come see. I'm like, don't expect anything. So I sat with my arms folded, and when it was over, I asked how long the contract was, because apparently they must have forgot to mention that. And when he told me there's no contract, I took a moment to reevaluate, and I signed up that night.
Great.
I was at a business networking meeting with Carol right here, and looked at the product because I sell health plans to small businesses, groups with 100 employees, 50 employees, and thought this ought to be shown to all these companies. And first one we went in on, Dave and Carol came, and the group was about 50 people there, and we offered three different benefits, new benefits to this group. At the end of the meeting, there was a lot more interest in this than there was in the short-term disability or the vision coverage. And we started to get those apps in, and I better get signed up for this. I wasn't even signed up yet. They're doing all the work, and I'm just watching and smiling.
I know, it's great.
I actually was grandfathered into the company and went to a convention in Dallas in 98 and went thinking I was going for a different company, and they threw this little gold book on my bed and said, now we're prepaid legal. And I wasn't real thrilled, and I went home and did nothing. And about a month later, my son needed some assistance in high school, and I said, I have that legal thing, I'll call it. And got using it, and the lights went on, and so that's kind of all it took from there. Just stayed in the game.
And are you in the ball game with her?
We had a frivolous lawsuit that we were sued for $3 million, and we found out that even when you're innocent, it costs you money to get out from underneath the lawsuit. And so we found out that this was much cheaper than the $25,000 we had to pay a lawyer to get out from underneath that lawsuit.
Wow, $3 million?
We didn't have prepaid legal then.
You didn't? Or you?
No, we didn't. That's why when this came forward, I thought, last time I had a lawsuit, it cost me $25,000 to get out from underneath it. I found that anybody can sue anybody for anything, and the lawyers are ready to take your money to defend you, regardless if you're guilty or innocent, and that if that ever happened again, it's going to cost me $25 a month. It's not going to cost me $25,000.
Incredible. Those are some great stories. Now, why did I do that? Because everyone we come in touch with, they're either going to be skeptical, they're going to jump right on it, they're going to see it, they're not going to see it. Why did I get my family involved? Because I saw it. Whether they saw it or not, I did. My dad enrolled just because I was selling it. Just because I told him I'm in this business, he got it. He was about, let's see, my dad's 87, so he was 79. He raises cattle and horses, and he didn't use his service. 3 years later, he was griping about somebody owing him money. And I said, Dad, why don't you use your service? And he said, well, you think it'll work? I said, I have no idea, but you got to try. So I dialed the toll-free number for him to Ross and Matthews, and an attorney called him back. And Ross and Matthews wrote a letter for my dad to this gentleman, and the guy got it on a Thursday, and he called my dad on Saturday, and he paid my dad on Sunday. And, you know, my dad called me Sunday afternoon, and he said, honey, this really works. And he goes, and I have some more issues. My dad's the sweetest man on the face of the earth, but he just would never hire an attorney because he felt like the handshake, you know, was good enough and he could resolve the problem himself. And that's what a lot of people think. But today that gentle nudge or not so gentle nudge makes a difference. So now my family, my parents are directors. They call me, honey, we need you to talk to so-and-so or somebody's interested. All of the students I ever taught in my whole life call. And every time I was teaching a training, and this is what's really upsetting. So if, will everybody pull out a piece of paper, please? A blank piece of paper. Pretend this is your first day in the business. Today's your first day in the business. And that person tells you to make a list of people that you know. You need to start a new list all over again because you now know more people and you have a new warm market. I went to my parents and I said, Mother, and all those students that we ever taught, surely you can help me get to those people. Because I would teach a training and in would walk somebody, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but somebody comes up to you and says, do you remember me? You taught me when I was 13 years old, and I'm on their team. And then you have to stand in the front of the room and teach them the rest of those 4 hours, and they're not on your team. Not that we don't teach people that aren't on our own team. I'm just saying that, you know, that's sort of a sick feeling in your gut. So you need to start a whole new list over today. Don't skip, you know, turn over every rock, everybody, everywhere, to get to the people that you know, because this thing is exploding. I have seen such a huge change in the last 10 years. When I got into the business, people looked at me like, you know, I'd lost my last loop. You know, why would I purchase a legal plan when I don't have a legal issue? Just like, why would I have health insurance when I'm not sick? And today, I always knew that we would get to the place where we were not selling it, people were buying it. There is a difference. You know, when the cell phones first came out, it was, you know, like this. And it was very expensive. And I wasn't getting one. Today, I mean, it's hard for me to be, for it to be over there instead of by me. You know, just to put it down for a little bit is difficult to do. So we buy cell phones, don't we? We look for which one's the best rate and what store we're going to get it from. I have a great story to share with you. And this can be a recruiting story. This can be a membership selling story. But I was in my car, and on the back of my car, I've got Prepaid Legal Services, Inc. with the Lady of Justice and my cell phone for advertising. I'm driving I-10 West to go through Katy to get to Schulenburg. And my cell phone rang. And I said, hello, like we all do. And he goes, hello. And I said, who is this? He goes, this is Mr. Frank. And I said, well, hello, Mr. Frank. How are you today? He goes, I'm fine. He goes, ma'am, where are you driving from? I thought that was kind of weird. I said, well, I'm driving from the east side of Houston. And I said, where are you from? He goes, well, I'm in Katy. I said, well, I'm in Katy right now. And he said, ma'am, do you have children in your car? I said, no, sir. Why do you ask me that? And he said, well, I thought you had a child in your car. I said, no, sir. And he said, well, ma'am, I need to get you to slow down. I said, do what? He goes, you're going a little fast. I need you to slow down. This was the first drive-thru warning I've ever gotten in my life. I mean, this was a police officer calling me. I couldn't believe it. I said, sir, have you ever heard of prepaid legal services? He goes, as a matter of fact, ma'am, I have, and that's why I didn't stop you. He said, I knew you were going to have an attorney involved. And I said, well, sir, do you ever look for ways to make more money? Anyway, he gave me, well, I had his phone number because it was on my phone. But I never got the guy recruited because I had bad follow-up. But it's like never miss a turn to share your information. He obviously already knew about our company, right? And he gave me a phone call instead of pulling me over. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So you just need to tell all your members to get prepaid legal on their car, and maybe they won't get pulled over. What? Well, actually, my car was on cruise control, so it wasn't my fault. Another great story, and the reason I'm sharing these stories with you because I want you to know how this thing works. I think a lot of times we focus on recruiting people, but we don't actually get them to use the service, so they forget they have it, and then they cancel their membership, and then they are an associate, and they go into a drop status. If you're an associate and you don't have your membership, you're not vested in your business. And if you don't mark at least 3 memberships every quarter, you're going to go into a drop status. Does everybody know that? Everybody in this room know that. Are you sure? You know it now, right? So when you recruit somebody, have you ever recruited somebody and they say, do I have to have the membership? Yes, on my team you do. I mean, I'm not going to recruit somebody that doesn't believe in the service. That makes no sense whatsoever. Because if you're not using the service, how can you tell somebody else to use it? My son, Aaron, he's my oldest son. He was in the Marines, and now he's a Houston firefighter and paramedic. He'd gotten a ticket in Houston, and in Houston, it's standing room only at the courthouse. He goes into the courthouse. Pat Monks was his referral attorney from prepaid legal, and another gentleman walked up using Pat Monks as his attorney. And my son, a director in the business, but really doesn't understand, he said, oh, you must have prepaid legal. He goes, no, what is that? He said, well, how are you using that attorney? See, our attorneys represent other people besides just prepaid legal people. He said, well, I pay him $100 every time he goes to court with me. And my son said, well, I don't pay him anything. He said, well, how do you do that? What is that you have? He goes, here, just give me your information. I'll have my mom call you. She can explain it to you better. So the guy gave my son his card, and he was the senior vice president of Halliburton. See, even senior vice presidents of Halliburton get tickets. And there's other things that my brain goes to. There's employees. So my son brought that card home. I immediately called him. I went over to his office, and I enrolled him and 5 other people. Then he gave me the name to the person I needed to get in touch with at Halliburton. And we are in the process of working on that account. Now, it's called the big elephant, so you'll starve to death until they say yes. So you've got to keep your business going and selling personal memberships and recruiting. So you can't get all caught off on those big elephant things, just to let you know. But it is exciting, because my feeling is, because of the laws that we have now in place, pushing people to our service. Is that not great? We have laws in place today that literally every business owner has got to do some things to start a compliance process. It's like driving legally. If you don't have a driver's license, you're illegal. Well, today our government is saying, Mr. Employer, if you don't protect people's information, you could be fined. And you need to have a way to help those people fix that problem. Well, hello, everybody. We have the solution. We have the problem fixer. We have the thing that people can use to say, if there's a breach and my identity is stolen, I have a service that I can use to help me fix the problem. Y'all should be standing up going, hip, hip, hooray. I mean, never in 10 years have we had a law pushing people to our service. Is everybody aware of that? Now, it's not that you want to go scare people to death and be the facto Nazi police, you know, but you can tell companies, if you're collecting non-public information and you need something to help your employees protect themselves, we've got a solution to the problem, and it doesn't cost you anything. We can come in and offer this to you. It's a discounted rate. The employees don't have to pay an enrollment fee. It's month to month. It's portable. They can't use it against you. They can never use our service against you. All we need is some time to speak to all of your employees. They need to all know about the information. They're more receptive to it today than they were before. And I don't know how many of you have done group, but even if it's group or it's an individual, all individuals, and I don't know if you ask your people this when you enroll them as a member, but do you ask them where they work? Do you ask them where their spouse works? Do you ask them for who do they know? I have a friend, and he's not even going to believe this story, but my daughter-in-law, Crystal, her mom works at a bank. They have issues, identity theft issues at that bank. She has a membership. Crystal's been trying to recruit her. She called me day before yesterday, before I left to come here. And she said, Verna, I have someone that needs your service. Her company is getting ready to fire her. There's some really legal issues here, and she needs the service. I said, well, Sandy, that is awesome. Now, do you want me to make the money, or would you like to make the money? I mean, I don't get that part. I can't comprehend it. And so she said, well, we need to talk about that. And when I told her, I said, Sandy, you could make anywhere from this to this on this membership. And I said, if you would start building a team, she's got connections all over the place. How many of you have connections? Raise your hand, everybody. You just don't know you have connections. There was a gentleman in Florida that took the 3 years he was in high school, the 3 years before he got to high school, and the 3 years after high school. And he collected all that information and started sending out information to all those people. And I know December of a couple of years ago recruited like 43 people in 1 month based on who he went to school with. If you just did that, you could build a team all over the nation. Has anybody ever done that in here before? Contacted the people you went to school with? It really, truly works. And as far as group marketing, you don't ever not have warm leads. Will you tell me again how you recruited this gentleman?
Well, Carol actually is the sponsoring associate.
Okay.
She asked me to come to a meeting to meet him because he's a very successful benefits broker. So we went over and just sat down in the boardroom and said, here's what our benefit is and does. And he didn't sign up, didn't become an associate, or even a member. And I think he went and talked to a company that didn't really fit, felt it was going to be a good fit, but then invited us to come and kind of test the waters out at the next company, because he was, I think, just testing to see if they would be interested, not having been trained, not really knowing anything, but just checking it out, and it didn't go over well. So, well, let's go do the next one, but let us come do it. And we went and sat down and did the presentation after the Health Life Vision people. We took our spot, and like you said, as soon as it was done, there was a feeding frenzy up at our table where
right.
our new member kits were. And after that, he's just like, dang, we need to get together and put my paperwork.
And I want to ask you something. As an insurance agent, do you look at your accounts as your accounts? These are my accounts, right? You offer benefits to. If me, over here in my little world of prepaid legal, called on one of what you call your accounts, and I got into your account, would you think something like, well, that's my account? And there's this intruder coming in on my account. Well, that happened to me. Back in 2002, I got a lead from our company. And that, you know, we'll get leads. If you'll do good work, they'll send you leads. Well, I got this lead, and it was a school district. And they had the wrong phone number on the conservation report. And I called that number, and I was like, why in the world would a school district not answer their phone? And so finally, after I got stupid off my forehead, I called, you know, information. I said, can you give me the number of the school district? I called the school district. They then answered it was the wrong phone number. Spoke to the risk manager. I said, I need 15 minutes of your time. I have something I want to share with you that can help your employees. He gave me the appointment. I went over to his office. I took my 15 minutes. At the end of the appointment, he said, Vern, I'm going to do business with you, number one, because you were on time. You only took the amount of time that you said you were going to take. And you said something that a lot of people don't say. I said, what is that? You have something that will help my employees. And that's what my job is to help my employees. So he put me in touch with a third-party administrator. Now, they didn't want me there. But he wanted me there. So they scheduled all the meetings, every faculty meeting, and I was on the agenda. And after I went to the third-party administrator and said, this is what is about to happen, and I would love to include you on this and split apps with you if you would be interested. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. They were mad that I was there. After 6 weeks, almost 1,000 people enrolled. And my income in 6 weeks was $104,000. Now, they watched me the whole 6 weeks. They were at every meeting with me, and they watched how many people were enrolling. And after it was all over, it was like I said, it was like I had invaded their territory. I came into their account. But in our world of prepaid legal, it's our account. And the only way it can be taken away from you is if you don't service it. In the insurance industry, I think there's this fear of your account being somebody else getting it. A lot of the times, that's what I've dealt with insurance agents and brokers. In their world, it's a constant fear of their account being taken away from you. I will tell you, our company is very loyal to you as an associate. And they protect you 100% as long as you do your part. So that was a great feeling. But I had an account at the school district I told you about first, and it was an Aflac agent there. And he said, this is my account. I said, it is? I thought it was my account. Anyway, as I did my presentation, he said, you know what? I could do that all day long. I said, really? I said, well, this is what you need to fill out. And I would be more than happy to work with you and go around to all these different accounts and work with you, and we'll split apps. He became an associate. And, of course, that's still my account. He thinks it's his account with Aflac, but it's a lot of fun sharing and recruiting these insurance agents. And why do I like to recruit insurance agents and brokers? Number one, they're professionals. Number two, they're salesmen. They know how to get in front of people. And if I was going to put an ad in the paper, it would be, who likes to get in front of small groups or large groups and speak? Because obviously, we do not get paid unless a membership is sold, correct? And we do not have good residual income unless they stay on the books. Is that correct? So from the get-go of your beginning of your business, and how many are you here today and it's your first year in the business? How many of those do we have in the room? So you are in your honeymoon period. That's what I call it. Your honeymoon period of your business. Because it takes 12 months for a membership to pay out. So you get that advance commission, and then over the next 11 months, you need to know that they're using their service and they've stayed on their membership, correct? And most of the time, you can do that. If you properly give them the tools they need to use their service, would you say that is a good theory? How many of you are truly doing that? Everybody raise your hand, because now you're going to. You're going to have the tools that you need to give them and to get them started and to get them using your service. And I give every member a homework assignment. I need you to use your service the very next day or the day I'm there, or if it's a weekend, call Monday. And I give them the number and I ask them, would you please use your service and would you please give me some ways you could have used your service? Right? And when I recruit somebody, I want to make sure that they're going to do the same thing with their business, because you know what? When you recruit somebody on your team and they do bad business, it hurts your business. Because when you get an override, that override can be taken away, residual income, because the business went off the books. So for the people that are here new, whether you understand everything or not, I can tell you this. Understand. Do good business. Don't sell somebody a membership because they have an issue right now and all they want to do is take care of that and cancel it next month. You know what I say to them? I prefer you go get your own attorney, because I don't want that cancellation. Now, how many of you are brave enough to do that? You can not enroll everybody that's not going to be good business for you. Because how many of you understand? Can we go into some things right now that I'd love to share with people about chargebacks? And okay, there's some things because of group school that I've learned that is a wealth of knowledge to help you in your business, whether you're just recruiting, just selling memberships, whatever it is you're doing. In our business, our company will pay you advance commission. And that sounds wonderful. How many like advance commission? You go out and work and you get paid the next day. Now, the next day means once you turn the app in, they process it and they pay you. So it may not be like tomorrow, but as soon as they process it, you get paid. So you get paid that advance commission, whatever level that you are. And then the person stays on the books, and then the residual kicks in and it goes against your debit balance. Now, what is a debit balance? That's that account that you're creating by enrolling people and recruiting that are selling memberships that builds up. Until that membership's paid out, it's not at zero, is it? So it's like the company is giving you a loan of money. And once it pays out, then your residual kicks in. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Do you also know that when you recruit somebody, people will say to you, you're going to override everything that they do on their team? Has anybody said that to you? Is that what you think? Because let me show you an example. I recruit Dave. I'm a new CFT associate. He's a new CFT associate. I recruit Dave, but I don't, and I sell him a membership, but I don't sell two more memberships. So I'm a CFT associate, right? Dave gets crazy on me. Dave recruits three people, sells them all a membership. He moves up the ladder, and I'm still at CFT associate. Do I override what he does?
No.
No, I don't. I gotta stay ahead of the pack, man, don't I? I know there have been some people in the business before that became disillusioned because they recruited what I call a maniac. And they went way up. All I can tell you is pray for a maniac on your team. Pray for three maniacs on your team. And you keep looking until you find those people that want to do this business with or without you. I want to know from Dave right now, Dave, if I get out of this business in 6 months, are you going to still be here?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to hear right there. Because I want to recruit leaders. I need people that are going to stick and stay so we can go forward. Because I don't know how many of you have recruited somebody, you've done all this work, you've invested all this time, and then what happens? They fall off the bandwagon. I don't know where they disappeared to. They went, you know, MIA. They just like, where'd they go? What happened? Why are we not still on the same page? In my business, I have recruited a lot of people. I know Cleve Pickens out of Florida said, I have a lot of people on my team that did nothing. That's why I'm a millionaire. It just means we got to recruit more people. So what I'd like for you to do right now is everybody stand up. We're going to take a quick little massage break. If you'll put on some music for me. And then we're going to do a little practice. I need some great music. I need everybody to face that way. Okay, ready? Start massaging your partner. massage therapist. I got a massage last night. Oh, yeah. Okay, everybody, give yourselves a hand. Okay, what I want for you to do, I want you to partner up with someone. You and another person, just pick a partner. So everybody got a partner? You don't have, hey, Dad, will you go be his partner? Are there going to be partners? Does everybody have a partner? Ryan, could you be Dave's partner? In fact, Ryan and Dave, would y'all please come up to the front? Now, I'm going to use Dave and Ryan as guinea pigs. That'll be great. Isn't that great? Since we have Mr. Top Recruiter, it's very irritating, you know. I'm going to use Dave just a minute, because I think what we do, I taught dancing and twirling for a lot of years, and what happens is you tell somebody what to do, but you don't practice with them what to do. And a student will leave, and they will go home, and I could always tell if they practiced or not. So you're taking all these notes, and you're writing everything down, and you take those notes home, but you never apply them. And you go back to the next training, you take all these notes, you've got your journal, and you go home, but you never apply them. Right? So today we're going to practice. Ryan, I would like for you to introduce yourself to Dave. And would you just say what you say when you're recruiting somebody? You're introducing yourself and you're doing an exposure.
Okay. Can you give me an atmosphere?
An atmosphere is you're at the airport. You're at the airport in Phoenix, Arizona. And there's a layover. And you have a few tools with you, a magazine, a DVD. And you see Dave over here, and he's yawning. And he's a little little irritated because he needs to be in California at an event that he is the guest speaker.
Okay.
And I need to know if you're just sitting here and he's sitting there and you don't know him from Adam. Because it's okay, you can talk to your person that you know. But what about coming up to a person that you don't know at all?
Okay.
How do you approach that person?
Oh, man, it's been a long layover. Where are you heading?
California.
Oh, really? Well, it's so hard to do it in front of people. Sorry. I said, where are you heading to California for?
Convention.
Convention for?
Tupperware.
Tupperware. Nice. Nice. And what exactly is the Tupperware business you're involved in?
It's kind of like Rubbermaid, just a lot more expensive.
Well, that's really cool. Do you like it?
No, but my wife makes me do it.
This is so great. I'm loving this.
That's interesting. I, to be honest, I always just ask what they say, and if they don't ask me what I do,
right.
I generally don't go there.
Oh, you don't?
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Thank you.
I'll bail you out.
Thank you. I'm actually a recruiter for a New York Stock Exchange company.
Sounds impressive.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a lot of fun. They're always looking for new associates. You might want to check it out yourself sometime.
Oh, what is it that you do?
Well, I work with the number one risk management company in the nation, and you know they're always looking for new associates. Let me just get your number. I'll let you know if something's going on.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll write down their number. I said, so how many people in your family here? Whatever I'm going to talk to them about.
Too many.
I'll just go on from there.
Okay, so what I'm trying to show you here is this. He's a stranger. He's sitting there. Somebody has to open their mouth. Okay, Dave Cibula, he gets on the plane. He throws a tool in the seat next to him. Somebody goes to sit down and they say, is this yours? He goes, no, it's yours. You might as well take it now because you're going to get one before you leave. Now, who would do that? Would you do that? You will now. Absolutely. You know, I know that there's so many ways that we could sit up here and go through a scenario of meeting someone. Ryan just said he doesn't usually tell that person what he does unless that person says, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. And I generally, sometimes if I don't have a tool, I like just getting the number, because my tool that I use more than any other is the sizzle call when I call them.
Right. So he uses a sizzle call. All I know is somehow, some way, you have got to break through your comfort zone. How many of you on a day-to-day basis would talk to somebody you don't even know? Really? How do you open a conversation? Everybody go, hi.
Hi.
And stick your hand out and say, you know, shake your hand. Hi, where are you from? Well, I'm from Houston. Where are you from?
Utah.
Really, what do you do?
I'm a recruiter for the New York Stock Exchange.
Really? You know, and my thing is, just like when I was at the airport, the gentleman came and sat down by me. I didn't know him. He opened up his laptop. Immediately he pulled up the logo for his company. And, of course, me, I'm sitting here looking, can't help but look, and I'm interested in what that's all about. But he opened up to me. And he just said, so where are you from? And I told him. I said, where are you from? He said, California. And I said, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going back home. And I said, well, I'm going to Utah. I was supposed to already be there, actually. But I said, I'm going to Utah. And he goes, what are you going to do there? And I said, well, I'm the presenter at a Super Saturday for a New York Stock Exchange company. And he goes, really, what is that about? And we had about this long to share. And he's the one that's already emailed me. I didn't have a tool. I had my business card. And I said, well, actually, we help people have access to attorneys all over the nation and protect their identity. He said, oh, my gosh, I just started a company, and I need an attorney right now. I gave him my card. He gave me his information. He's already emailed me. We got, you get on Lead Manager when they go to your website. I've already gotten the message from the lead manager, and he wrote a little note telling me what to do. But, see, I personally feel comfortable with opening a door. You may not, but somehow you got to break through that and say, hello, my name is, where are you from, this is where I'm from, and start the conversation, and that's how you become a top recruiter. Right? So I'm going to ask you, tomorrow, today, when you leave today, I want to know how many people will go out and do two exposures with people that you don't know. I mean, today when you leave at 2 o'clock, get you something to eat, how many people will go out and talk to two people you don't know today? Can I get that commitment?
Yes.
Promise.
Yes.
Because if you will do that, you will increase this room, you will increase your business, and somebody will go out and make some money today and recruit somebody. Or you'll be in the process of recruiting somebody. All right? Okay, thank you for your help. Now, I do crazy things like this. If somebody calls me and say, oh, I have the wrong number, I'll say, well, wait a minute, maybe you don't. Have you ever done that? Would you think of doing that, or are you just irritated and go, hang the phone up? You could have just lost a Dave Hall. You could have just lost a Dave Savula. You could have lost the top producer in the company by hanging up that phone. Dave Savula says things like, when you get that sales call, Dave goes, are you in a cubicle? How much are you going to make by calling me? How much would you make if I bought what you're selling? And he gets them in a conversation. And before you know it, he has taken over your life. Because he's crazy. I mean, in 93, he got into the business. He had no brochure, he had no tools, no magazines, no DVDs. He had a brochure with the titles of coverage on it. We didn't have identity theft. We didn't have Legal Shield. And we had credibility from Roger Staubach from the Dallas Cowboys. That's how he became a millionaire in 3 years. And this is what he told me. He came to Houston one time. I said, Dave, how did you make this happen? He said, Verna, my vision was the United States of America. And in every state, I wanted a push pin in every single city and every single state with an asset. And every asset is an associate that's going to go out and help build my business. Dave's never done a group, not in his life. That would be scary. But Dave has built a team, and he got six people on his team. And he started on a Monday going to their home. And he started building and building and building leaders. And before he knew it, he had this massive team. And now he's got more group people and more leaders on his team than anybody else in the country. There's some that are coming close. But all I know is and I'm going to talk to myself today, and sometimes we go do Super Saturdays for us. I hope you're getting something out of this. But sometimes, I don't know about you, Dave, but when you go do a Super Saturday or you go get involved in something with your company, doesn't it help you? You have motivated me today just by your stories of how you got into the business. This situation with the insurance agent and going in and you doing the, you know, and you seeing the value and more people enrolling in our service, that motivates me to want to go do more. Clancy, I'm going to talk about Clancy just a minute. How many of you know her personally? She's a maniac. And when I go places and I get to meet people, it excites me to know that there's other people in the world as crazy as me. I am a kamikaze. I don't have fear. I have been in the corner sucking my thumb before. I have been upset over rejection. But when I first got into the business, you know, I had a need, but I also had hesitation and maybe not as much confidence as I needed. And would everybody just please sit up and sit out on the edge of your chair? How many of you have good posture when you go talk to somebody? How many have confidence with your chest up? Can everybody do this? I used to go into companies. I want you to sit there a minute. And I would go in, and when they told me no, I would walk out going, what did I do wrong? Have any of you ever done that? Okay, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? You know how I think today? I walk out of a company or talking to somebody, and if it's president of a company, I say, how can somebody that stupid be running a company? And I don't mean to be rude, but I have built a confidence in what I do that nobody or anything can get me off focus of knowing how important this is. So this one person is not going to get me off focus, where it's a family member, my boyfriend, my husband, my whomever those people are that could get you off track. Don't let them anymore. They are wrong. There is nothing harder to be in a relationship with somebody that doesn't support you in what you do. Uh-oh, have I touched a hit? Have I hit a toe or a, you know? Happens to all of us. You're not the only one. It happens to all of us. My deal is I've got four children and none of them help me in this business. And I have Dave here and he's got his mom here. Sally, this makes me sad because I'm looking at that going, man, I see the Hughes family and all these different families, that their whole families in the business together changing their lives. And I'm still like, okay, what else do I need to accomplish to, you know, get them to see that this really works, right? And then I have people come up to me and say, how's your family not helping you with this? Oh my gosh, I wish you were my mom. You know, so I have a totally different family. You're my family, my prepaid legal family, and it's a cool thing. But building this confidence that I'm trying to help people, I don't want you to leave here today. And is everybody still sitting up on the edge of your chair? Yes. Is that hard? Do you practice it? You can always tell how a person walks, the speed of how they talk, their posture, if they really want to be successful. Because when you go up and talk to a person, I had a gentleman say this to me. He said, "Vernie, if you didn't look successful, I wouldn't do business with you." Does that make sense, doesn't it? If you didn't look successful, I wouldn't do business with you. So for those of you out here, and I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but I know that when you leave here today, I want everybody to be more successful this next week. I want you to be in Players Club. I want you to be able to go out and make some money. And the next time I hopefully get to come back, this room will be bigger. I would love for this room to be bigger. Is it two? Oh, no, that's two in Houston. I didn't change my watch. Yes, I am. I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to take you through some things. You can ask me questions. It doesn't bother me. I don't have the sick feeling in my gut anymore, and I'm going to tell you why. But I would love for you to ask me questions about the business. You may sit back in your chair now. But I would like to ask you to please start paying attention to how you dress, your posture, the smile on your face, comb your hair, brush your teeth. Do those things that are important. And I don't care if you're new in your business, have one outfit that's clean, pressed. And I say this because I get to go back home. But I'm just saying, please do all of those things so you don't prevent yourself from being successful. I'm going to tell my story. And I hope it helps you. I hope that something in this helps you get to a better place in your life and in your business. I did teach dancing and twirling for 28 years. I grew up on a farm. My parents raised cattle and horses, 4-H leaders. My mom had three little girls in her 20s, and she's a kamikaze. And she started taking dancing and twirling and piano, and so we did that too. And also my dad had cattle and horses, so we rode horses and we showed cattle. And I had to do all of it. Plus my dad didn't have any sons, so he, we were his sons. And he had to, mow and cut and bale hay. And so I'll never forget my senior year. I was drum major of the Lee Band in Baytown. And my dad called and said, "Honey, I really need your help." And I said, "Well, I have band practice." And I had to be at the band, in front of the band, at 8 o'clock in the morning. I got finished at 10, had a lunch break. And he said, "Well, can you come home and rake hay for me before you have to go back in the afternoon?" And that means get on a tractor and drive it all around the rows of hay to get them ready for him to go bale. Can you believe I do that? I did that. Anyway, so I'd go to band practice, rush home, put on my jeans, and go out and do that for him, and then rush home and shower and go back to band practice and be drum major at the lead band. And nobody knew I did that. My senior year, I won Grand Champion Steer, and on the day of my senior prom, I went to the auction, showed my steer, sold it. It was $1,800. That was really awesome back in, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It's a long time ago. But by the time I got home, my date was in his tux waiting for me. And I kind of smelled like something from the barn. And so I rushed in, got dressed, and we went to the senior prom. And I told my parents, I said, "Nobody else does this. Nobody. These girls have been off getting their hair done, their nails done, and I'm, whatever." But anyway, I was able to buy my very first car. I put down $800, and back then, this is really back then, $100 a month was my car payment. And with my teaching, I was able to pay my $100 a month for my car, and I had a beautiful new Cutlass Supreme, bought it just exactly like I wanted it, and it was a total of a whopping $4,100. Isn't that great? I can't believe it. I wish they were that much now. But all through those years of being competitive, competition causes jealousy. And I don't know if you've been in Little League, cheerleading, twirling. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what you do. You could be at your job and somebody's jealous of you. It could be even be in prepaid legal. But I had adapted to jealousy. I did get twirler and I got head twirler and I got drum major and there was jealousy. Even in 4-H and FFA, there were guys that were jealous of us because the girls always beat them. Sorry, guys. But it taught me a lot about sportsmanship. It taught me a lot about life. It taught me a lot about talking to people and caring about them. And in teaching children taught me a lot about dealing with people today in my business. Although we're not children, it's like when you recruit a new person, it's kind of like they're your child, they're your baby, and you want them to be successful. Well, when I was teaching children, I knew that every week they came back, if I did a really good job of teaching and they went home and practiced, they would improve. Is that correct?
Right.
Same in this business. You recruit somebody, you help them, you practice, and they're going to be a better person in the business. Well, my daughter, Amber, she is 30 now. At the time, she was 13. And in teaching, you meet a lot of crazy parents, like I told you before. And my children were going to a Christian school. And one day, I picked my daughter up from band practice, and I drove in my driveway, and two police officers came up into my driveway. And they stuck their badge in my window. And I rolled my window down, and my daughter was sitting over there looking, going, "What in the world?" And they said, "Are you Miss Heath?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "Well, we're Detective Helton and Sergeant Blackwell. We're from Narcotics and Crime. This is about your daughter. We need you to go in the house. We have something to tell you." And I'm looking at Amber. Narcotics and Crime? And I looked at them, and they said, "We've called your husband. He was at work. We told him your car was stolen. And he should be here in a minute." I said, "Why'd you tell him my car was..." Well, couldn't tell him what really happened. Anyway, I went in the house. My daughter got my younger children in the back room. And they pulled up very close to me, and they said, "Do you know Wanda Holloway?" And I said, "Yes, what does this have to do with cheerleading?" Because the last 2 years, my car had been stolen, my car had been keyed, I'd gotten death-threatening phone calls, my daughter's books had been flushed at school. You name it, we'd had bombs put in our front yard, but I never knew who did it. Well, they said, "Well, as of 30 minutes ago, she was arrested and taken to jail because she hired someone to murder you and your daughter." And I think they thought I was going to pass out or something. And really all I did was I kind of chill when something bad happens. I don't usually get all excited. And I started putting this puzzle together over everything that had happened over the last 2 years. And they said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, I'm fine." About that time, my husband at the time walked in and I said, "Jack, don't believe anything you heard. My car wasn't stolen. Just come sit down and they'll tell you what happened." And then they explained to him what had happened, and he, of course, being through a lot of the jealousy that we had experienced with my daughter of the other girls not talking to you, and then you try out and you beat them, and they don't treat you right, and they're jealous. It's a very sad, vicious circle. And I always taught my children that you be the best you can be. Whatever that is, you need to strive to be that. You can't compare yourself to someone else. We all have our stuff, but you be the best you can be. And that's what my parents taught me. And whenever we would go to a contest, I would take Amber to a contest. I would say, "It doesn't matter if you win or not. What matters is you try and you do the best you can do. And if you don't win, you be the first person to congratulate the winner." And that's how I was raised, and that's how I raised my children. Well, in this situation, unfortunately, my daughter had beat this other lady's daughter, and she didn't like it, and she wanted to get rid of us. So before the next year of trying out, Amber would not be in the way of her daughter getting cheerleader. And there, she was she confronted a friend of hers, actually her ex-brother-in-law, and the police wired him. So every time he would call her or visit her, everything was recorded. So once they came to me, I didn't really get it, truly. I mean, you see it on television, but whenever somebody says somebody wanted to murder you, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's just like really weird to me. And Mike Anderson was the district attorney, and he said, "I don't think you truly understand. I need you to come and listen to these tapes." because the day they came to my home to tell me, the very next day my son had a basketball game, and they told me, truly, you don't need to share this with anybody. We don't know what's going to happen. So really, you shouldn't tell your children. And we were like, well, is this going to be in the news? They go, well, we don't know if it's going to be in the news or not. And so we decided that we wanted to tell our children there was a concern, but they couldn't go to school and share it with anybody because people would think they were crazy. But when they got to school the next day, her daughter was there. Now, I just know that if I would have been arrested and taken to jail, my children probably would not have been able to go to school the next day. Well, we went to trial. It was 8 days long. That's about 54 hours of attorney fees. And I'm sitting in this room with a men's toilet and a lady's toilet looking out the window with the guys in orange with all the media. They're everywhere. And after 8 days, it was finally my time to testify. And they played the tapes, the 45 minutes of tapes. And it was how she was planning my death. And she talked about kidnapping me, flying me out of the country, selling me to white slavery, blowing up my house, blowing up my car, shooting both of us in our car, and then blowing our car up. You name it, she was planning it. And to listen to that, you know, people say, well, how did it make you feel? And I'm like, well, how would it make you feel? You know, just insert your name where my name was, and how would it make you feel? So my youngest son was 3 at the time, and my husband had had a stroke. And I had 4 children from the age of 3 to 13. And I had 170 producers call that wanted to hear our story and make a movie. And everybody from A Current Affair to Inside Edition to Oprah to Phil, you name it, they were calling. Because they just want a piece, okay? They just want to tell a story, and it's all about money. It has nothing to do with you as a victim. And I, unfortunately, was one of these trusting people that only see the good in people. And dealing with all of that, I wasn't caught up in the money. I only was caught up in trying to keep my children intact, deal with my husband being sick, and dealing with all the media. Once I had an attorney, I realized the issues get a lot bigger. The issues are different. The laws are not what you think they are. Hearsay means nothing in court. It's not about what you think. It's about what you have that is a fact. And so going to court and hearing everything and listening to her her attorney, and I don't know if you've ever been to a courthouse, but it will help your business if you will go to court somewhere and just listen to what happens in that courtroom. It will make you even more of a believer about your business. In that courtroom, once her attorney got up there, he turned to the audience and he said, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, surely you've all thought of some time in your life of killing somebody." And we were like, no, not actually. Have I ever thought of doing that? You may get irritated at somebody, but I never thought of killing somebody. So she played the tapes. My daughter had to be there. This was really hurtful to my daughter because it put her in the limelight. It put her where it's all on the news. And when you're 13, it's just really a black cloud. The innocence is stolen from you. Well, after 8 days of trial, dealing with attorneys, dealing with the legal system, one of the jurors was on deferred adjudication. This lady was found guilty, sentenced to 15 years in prison. One of the jurors was on deferred adjudication, wasn't supposed to serve on the jury panel, so the whole trial was thrown out. 2 days after that, her attorneys filed an appeal. See, they can do that. They do that all the time. And when they filed that appeal, she was released from jail. And she lived like I live here, and right around the corner, she lives there. She was released for the next 5 years. Five. That's how slow the justice system is. And over those next 5 years was when I realized that the legal system wasn't working. The attorneys, you know, if you're in court and they put you on the witness stand and they just literally crucify you, try to make you the bad person, surely you did something to make her so mad that she wanted you dead. I'm like, no, not really. I mean, I didn't do anything. My deal was I had taken my child, and from the time she was an embryo, she was at the studio with me. So over the next 9 years, you think she might have learned something at the studio? How to speak over a mic, how to tap dance, how to twirl, how to do a part of what I was doing? Yes. It's kind of like one of you fathers taking your young son and throwing the ball to him and him practicing from the time he's old enough to throw a ball. By the time he's old enough to be in sports, he's pretty good at it, right? No difference in this business. You work with somebody enough, they'll get good enough. So my daughter had the advantage, you might say. And that was all brought up in court. Over that period of time that we were dealing with the legal system, I realized what I've always said. If you don't have enough money and you don't have the right attorney, you have no rights. And you're victimized over and over and over and over. And if you want to go see why you're in this business and why you market this product, go to court. And watch the guys come in the orange suits that have no counsel. Or they have a court-appointed attorney that can only be appointed to them if they don't pay a house note or pay a car note. You cannot get a court-appointed attorney if you don't qualify for one. You can't make too much money. And that court-appointed attorney will have about 5 minutes with that person that's been arrested. Then you'll see why what you have could help everybody. And so in that courtroom, I learned a lot. Not only about the laws, but about people needing help. And after 5 years, I had prayed and prayed and prayed, God, please let something positive come out of this situation. And my son, on Martin Luther King Day, when he was 15, was the only skinny little white boy on the varsity basketball team. And he was 6'2", and I could not get him to gain weight. He showed me this knot in his stomach, and we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, Ms. Heath, your son has to have surgery. He's got a tumor. And I said, what kind of tumor? He said, it's cancer. And, of course, I looked at Sean, and I'm a mom, so I don't get hysterical, but I did have tears coming down my face. And it was just because he had worked so hard to get to where he is, and they were starting district. And at that particular moment in my life is when no longer was she relevant. I had a new focus. I had no more pain in my gut. And you will not believe, over the next few months dealing with my son, he was home, you know, healing. She got out of prison. She had 180 days in prison and 10-year shock probation, which means they put you in prison for 180 days to shock you enough so you won't do it again. Now, how would that make you feel? It's like, you're kidding me. That's it? But you don't have any control over that either, because it's the legal system and it's the way it works. So my son had cancer. We get through that. He gets back to school. She's now out of prison. Get back to school. He goes in. I go to pick him up. He walks out, and he looks like he's seen a ghost. I said, Sean, what's wrong? He said, Mom, a girl picked 4 boys' picture out of the annual and said that they raped her, and I'm one of them. I'm like, I mean, I laughed, actually. If you knew Sean, I mean, you would know Sean would never do that, and he couldn't have anyway. He was cut from here all the way over to here. They took out a rib. His tumor was this big. It had taken over his kidney, and because he was so skinny, they could actually see the tumor coming out the front. So I, of course, immediately realized I needed an attorney, right? I didn't know about prepaid legal at all. I needed an attorney because when your child is accused of rape, guess what? You got to prove he didn't do it. So we go through all that, and this was in April. By May, my friend Polly started pestering me about going to this meeting. And I had gotten a job working for an insurance company. And I was studying to take that ridiculous Group 1 test while I'm helping you know, get Sean back to where he was. I'm one of the mothers, too, that calls out all their kids' names, you know, Blake, Sean. So it's really Sean. But after I was studying at the hospital and at home on the computer, I took that test, and I failed it. I made a 69. You have to make a 70. And I had no desire to do that. I didn't like it. I didn't like the guy that was helping me. He was on the phone helping this woman. She wanted a policy, and he was telling her how great this policy was, and I was sitting there listening, and he goes, you know, I don't have it. I'm just telling her that I have it. I was like, what? you're just telling her how great this policy is, that you own it, but you really don't own it. And every time I think about somebody in prepaid legal that doesn't own our service, but they're telling people about it, that reminds me of that man. So I had a bad taste in my mouth from the get-go. Anyway, thank God I didn't pass my test, and I found out about this company. And as soon as I found out about it and started using the service, I realized that all of the stuff I had been through was just stepping stones to teaching me about why people need the service. And I have a lot of more issues over those years that I went through. I'm not going to go into all those today, but I will tell you I had 13 legal issues in a period of those 7 years. And when HBO delivers a lawsuit to your home, little peon Verna Heath is not prepared to withstand that kind of legal. I mean, you can imagine how rich they are. What am I going to do to overcome that? So what did I do? I got tired. First time in my life I ever got tired. And over the next 8 months, I fought and fought and fought because they were making this ridiculous movie called The True Adventures of the Texas Cheerleader Murdering Mom. Now, what does that tell you? It's a joke, right? It's not the real thing. And so ABC also made a movie, The Willing to Kill. They didn't even interview me. They had my mom being an ice skating teacher, and I'm like, why do you have her being an ice skating teacher? She's never ice skated. Well, we didn't have a gym close enough, so we just showed it like she's an ice skater. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. So when you watch a true story anymore, it's not true. Just to let you know, or you see something on the news, don't believe everything you see in here, because it's not true. I don't mean to put a damper on those of you that hear true stories, but I will tell you that in this business, we could develop our own movie. Dave Hall could make a movie right now of his experience, and it would be a powerful story to people in our country. If we could get the media to tell the true stories of what we really go through to get to where we are, it would help others. And the reason Good Morning America called me, they're one of the only companies that really tells a good, honest story. If you have a current affair or Inside Edition, it's all about the money and the sensationalism of it. But they actually called because of the past and wanted to know where we are today, what are you doing today, and how's your daughter and how's your family. And I said, well, you probably wouldn't believe me if I told you, but I market a legal plan to help people. And they're like, you do what? And so as I told the story, they said, well, we'd really love for you to come on and tell your story, but we would really like to talk about what you do today. And I said, you mean that you would actually let me come on and talk about my company and this service and how people can have help with the service or a business opportunity? You would let that happen? And they said, yes, we would. They just did that with Betty Foucault, whoever that person is that shot the woman in the face. And what is her name?
That's Jody.
Jody. How did you just know that right off the bat? You keep up, don't you? Too much. But anyway, the lady that got shot in the face, she now has her own business. And they let... What's her name?
Fisher's the young girl that shot the wife of Bud Foucault.
Now I know why you're not the top recruiter. Oh gosh, we have our own little patent place. But anyway, all I'm saying is they let her go on and share what she does today in her business. And I have, oh God, I have so many stories I want to tell you. I have so many stories I want to tell you about this company. I was getting my ring in Las Vegas at the convention. And A&E called me wanting to interview me and my children. And they were going to pay my way out there and set up a room to interview us. And because of this business, I have learned so much about how to protect me and my family. And I said, well, before I speak to you, I need you to send me a contract so I can have my attorneys review it. Is that so powerful? I love it. feels so good. But they never sent me the contract. And I let them pay my way out there. They paid all our way out there, and they paid the hotel, and they called me on my cell phone, and they said, well, we're set up to interview. I said, well, you never sent me a contract. You mean we've flown you out here and you're not going to interview with us? I said, well, not until my attorney reviews the contract. But I'm here. I mean, you learn, you know, from your pain, you have to get stronger. And it's not that you're a bad person, it's just that you're not going to crap on me anymore. And so they said, well, we have a contract. I said, well, I have an attorney. Because all our provider law firms go to the convention. And so I got in touch with Mr. Stonecipher. He paged Mr. Ross and Mr. Matthews. They met me down at that interview room. And in walks Mr. Ross with his white hat and Mr. Matthews and the attorney from Mississippi. He looked like Abraham Lincoln. Can't remember his name. Anyway, they all walked in. And Sandy was this girl's name, and she was like, whoa. And I said, well, do you have the contract? And she goes, yeah, I have a contract. And I gave it to Mr. Ross. He sat down at the table, took his big old hat off. And I'm just standing there, my little $26 membership. And he's just going through that contract, scratching out and rewriting. And then he says, now, this is what I've done. They're not going to be able to sell this story to anyone else. I mean, he just was protecting me and my family. And when we were through, I handed it to her. And she took it and she goes, well, I don't have an attorney here. I said, well, I can enroll you on this $26 membership. I cannot tell you how great that day was for me. It's just the fact that you have so much more power in your life. Maybe nothing will ever happen that ridiculous to you, but even if the contractor comes out and doesn't fix your house right, or somebody owes you money, or you get a ticket and you need representation, any of those little things can build up to a big, huge issue. And over a period of time, you just feel slam dunked, right? Yeah. So I feel such a relief in this business that I'm very confident. Nobody can get me off track. Nobody can make me feel like what I've got is not important. Nobody. I don't care. The President of the United States of America cannot make me feel like what I've got is not important. And I would talk to him. I don't care who the person is. I would sit down, and that person is no more important in life than I am. They're not. They're just another human being that may have a different title. But I don't care. We put our clothes on the same way. We have to take a shower and put on deodorant for people to be around us. And we eat the same way, and we have families. So for you here today, my story, I don't know if it helped anybody. All I'm saying to you is this. No matter what you go through, and I had a person call me, and she said, you know what, Verna? Don't tell your mountain how big God is. I mean, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big God is. And when I heard that, I realized that all the strain and stress and frustrations and pain that my family was going through wasn't nearly as important as how God wanted to use me. And so today, you could not kick me out of this business. Mr. Stonecipher would have to relieve me from my associate agreement. I am going to expose my business to somebody every single day, every single day. And I will do it in my pajamas at home, which is really cool. Or I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to go out and talk to somebody. So whether you're a recruiting maniac, or you're like Clancy and you like to sell memberships, or you're like Dave that likes to have people on his team doing all of it, I want everybody to give him a standing ovation. Now, I want to tell you, the first time I met Dave, he didn't know I met him, but he was on stage receiving his $10,000 with his wife for being a top recruiter. And his story has always stuck with me. I've never had the opportunity to work with him or get to know him, but I've always heard great things about him. And when I saw him on stage and what he had gone through, I realized that, you know, my business is not just about me. It's about all of us. And anything that we can do to help each other is so important in our business. So when somebody calls me and they say, I know you're busy, if you ever call me and I'm not busy, you need to call 911. Okay? Because I'm going to be busy. So if I say, yes, I'm busy. But this man, just in the last few days, and I don't even know what to say to you, except I have been so honored to feel treated so special and with royalty and all those things that you do. This is the perfect example. If you looked in the dictionary for servant leader, it would have his name by it. So if you want to be like somebody, be like Dave Hall. He's the coolest guy in the business. I will tell you that from this day forward, I hope that we can all have a relationship. I hope that we're friends now. And you can call me anytime you want to, but when you call me, I want to talk about something positive. I think we waste more time talking about negative things. And if we turned all of that into a positive conversation, you know when people ask you, how are you doing? And I even say sometimes, you know what, I'm great. No, that's a lie. I'm not really great, but I'm going to tell you I'm great. Because truly, people don't want to hear all your stuff. That's why it's hard for me to get up here and unload on you the woes and, you know, of all what went on. Only if you can learn something from it. Only if you can say, well, you know, I took from that this and that, but now it's time to move on. I have moved on. I don't live in that world anymore. I forgive that woman. Whatever I have to do to feel good about me, that's it. Now, I had a birthday June the 5th, and I turned the double nickel. And I will tell you, when you turn the double nickel, you do not think about negativity. Because you want, I have four beautiful, fabulous, incredible children that have never caused me one day of trouble. Not one. And God knew, my mother always said, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And God knew I could not handle bad children. One or the other of us would have been dead, and then I'd had to use Title V. But I've had great children. I have four beautiful grandchildren, and I just know that I always wondered what I was going to leave my children, especially becoming a single parent. It's like, now what am I going to do? What am I going to be able to leave for them to make them put me up on their fireplace mantle? And it's so cool to know that I am building this residual income. If you haven't started building your residual income yet, get busy. And I mean get busy, because you don't want to wake up and go, wow, I wish I would have done more. Do it today. Get busy. I know it's 20 till, is it 20 till 2? Okay. What I would like to do just quickly in parting, unless, is this okay to have a Q&A? Then I'm just going to wrap up, and then I'll be here until you take me away.
Okay.
And answer any questions outside of after y'all wrap up. But I do want to say thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I appreciate the invite, and I would love to come back anytime that you invite me.
All right.
Not done with you yet.
Hopefully everybody
everybody got their gold nuggets today. I know that I'm pretty sure after you put in all that time to study for that insurance test, to find out that you failed it can have the appearance of a negative feeling. I don't know if you guys have ever wanted something really, really bad. Maybe you worked your guts out lifting weights all summer hoping you could make the football team, or you just, you know, spent hundreds of hours for many months working on something, only have it not work out the way you wanted it to work out, and thinking, this is a disaster. But how many thousands of lives are protected today? Over 7,000 by you personally, and how many other tens of thousands because of your team, and how many lives have you affected because of what seemed to be a disaster at the moment was really a blessing in disguise. And I know for me personally, her being here this weekend has touched a lot of lives that will be a blessing in disguise that will go on and affect tens of thousands more. Thank you. Man. We didn't have time to take you and show you the whole state of Utah. So we've got a nice coffee table book that you can remember your trip to Utah. And we've had some comments from the leaders with their sentiments. And then a book written by me for you. In here that you can take home and share with people about that, the experience. Hold on. You're not done yet. And your Players Club checks. I'm going to give you a $1,000 bonus. Along with a CD with all the pictures and everything that we took.
Great.
So you can show everybody your trip here.
Oh, you are so wonderful.
Thank you very much. All right. You guys ready to hear about next month?
Yeah.
All right. You know, and the funny thing is, you know, some of you, you might not even, you're new, you might, we'll drop names in here, and you might not even recognize the name. So other people are getting excited, and you're going, well, who's that, you know? But I can tell you this much. Every single month, countless hours go into searching the absolute best talent in the entire nation to bring it in here for you. So whether you know their story or not, I can tell you this much. You're going to leave this event a far better person if you're here at the event. Let me tell you a little bit about this next lady. I'm just going to tell you who's coming right now. Tracy Broughton. In the magazine that was published about our company, they have an article in here. And they tell about 1% of her story. And she's going to share the rest of it with you next month when she gets here. Let me give you about 1% of the 1%. And just reading a little bit out of the magazine, it starts out, "I will walk again." True to her word, Tracy Broughton did indeed walk again 6 months after being carried by life flight from the scene of a car accident that left her with internal bleeding, lacerated spleen, 2 broken vertebrae in her neck, and 3 more in her back. Tracy took her first steps on the road to full recovery. Less than 2 years later, she was an MVP on the track team. She was later named Miss LA Fitness, which is impossible to doubt Tracy then. For a second time in her life, she had to issue the same declaration. She was hit by another driver and paralyzed. She was actually told, "You'll never walk again." And yet she made the declaration, "I will walk again." And not only walked again, but became Miss LA Fitness. She was a model. She was in television shows like Baywatch, Beverly Hills 90210, Married with Children. Successful actress, making good money. Life was very good for her. And then all of a sudden to have her health taken away in the form of a car accident and told by the doctors, you'll never walk again. She overcame that and walked again. And then 2 years later, she was hit another time. Again, neither accident, her fault, hit by another driver and paralyzed the second time. In fact, she found herself at the scene of a horrific accident. Once more, she had broken vertebrae in her neck and back. This time, the damage was more severe. Tracy also suffered bleeding in her brain, spinal cord, which resulted in a condition called, I can't even pronounce it. She would spend the next 6 months in a hospital fighting for her life. The damage left her partially paralyzed and wiped from the Tracy the ability to accomplish even the simple tasks of daily life. She had no memory or speech. Didn't even know what a pen was. The diagnosis was equally grim. No bladder, couldn't move the entire left side of her body, and she'd never talk right again, never walk right again, never do anything really. This was the diagnosis that she had. I met her about 2 years after that point. I was at a training down in Southern California. And a lot of you have heard me talk about, you know, before Utah was really doing much, there was some good growth in California. So we'd just go to California for our Super Saturdays every single month. And I remember sitting up near the front one time, and they wheeled her in. Now, here's someone that signed up in prepaid legal. And one half of her entire body doesn't work at all. And she has basically one good arm. And they wheeled her in, and she couldn't hardly even talk. But she signed up in prepaid legal. And my first thought is, you can't sell memberships. You can't do anything. Who took you for $249? That's my first thought. It was like almost like that was cruel to take $249 from this person. And you know, I remember seeing her there thinking, beautiful, attractive lady, that's a tragedy that she's in that wheelchair. And the next month, I went back. And, you know, we kept going for 2 years. We'd go down there every single week, every single month. And a couple months after the first time I saw her there, I remember her looking down at her toes on the plate on the wheelchair. And then I was sitting next to her, and she would smile and then look at her toe. And she was wiggling her toe. And she would like to smile. She was getting excited that her toe was wiggling. And for the first time in years, she had a tiny bit of movement in that side of her body. And every single month when we went back there, you could see she was at every event. I mean, every week she arranged for somebody to come to her house and pick her up in her wheelchair to take her to the business briefing. She showed up at every Super Saturday. She's been at every convention. And if you know her full story as a single mother of twins raising two children from a wheelchair and still making it to every event, it's a shame when someone gives us an excuse about why they're not at an event. And slowly, she showed up at the event 1 month, and she was wheeling her own wheelchair. With both arms, she would wheel into that event. And it was like, oh my gosh, she has gotten the use of her arms back. How many years ago did we have her here? Was it 4 years ago? It was after, because she was in here. Anyhow, 3-4 years ago, we had her out here. She came out here in her wheelchair. And I'll tell you, that just meant so much to me that a single mom with kids at home would find a way to put it in her schedule to come out here in a wheelchair. Traveling can't be near as easy and she did a fabulous event. And a few of you were here, so you remember that story. And the rest of you, you're going to be blessed with that story. And she realizes that everything that's happened in her life is an absolute blessing to inspire other people. Just one of the most incredible people you'll ever meet. But then at the next convention, she was on crutches part of the time. Those crutches where, you know, they've got the armbands up here, and she was not walking. One foot would go forward and then dragging the other half and dragging. But she says, you know what? I'm not gonna stay in that chair. I will walk again. And then the next convention, she still had the crutches. But now one leg was keeping up a little bit. And you guys, next month we're going to have her here. And she'll be walking on her own two good feet here to inspire us. So, if you've got someone on your team that didn't make it here today, just, you know what they missed. How much more could have they been inspired if they were here and saw this event? And what could that do, again, to go touch the lives of many people 6 months, a year down the road? Who knows what it could do? But this is the only size of the room that we have next month. And so if everybody brought one more person, the challenge is the fire marshal wouldn't let us all in the building. And that's a great problem. That's a great problem. But some of you, I know, are ready to take your business to a whole new level. And so we really want to, you know, have a reward for you. Tickets are $20 a person. This is going to be our advanced product training. It's $20 a person. I know normally it's $20 an associate agreement, so the husband and the wife get in on one thing. But on these events, it's $20 a person. So their husband and wife, you're going to both need your own tickets. For those of you that want to invite, you want to put the karma out there, the energy out there right now today that I will not be showing up solo next month. That part of my business is done. I'm ready now to spread my wings and fly and make some money in this business. Make sure you get your tickets before the event sells out. If you buy 5, we'll give them to you for the price of 4. Clancy will eat the price of one of your tickets out of her own paycheck for you to have all of them there. So literally, someone's getting in free. For those of you that are serious, you can get 5 tickets for the price of 4 today. I'm going to strongly encourage you, do not leave this event without your tickets, because the slide edge is alive and working all the time in our lives. Things come up and things get busy, and later on, 2 weeks down the road, we say, I'm going to see if I can fit it into my schedule. If you just leave here today planning on being here and being here with guests, then everything else tends to fit in around what you're already planning on doing. That's what successful people do. I will see the successful people here next month. Thank you. God bless. Take care. I know I got to be right now, 'cause I can't get much wrong.